Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, it's Friday, and it's great to have you with us today. I hope you've been with us for every day of the last 2 weeks, because we have been experiencing a glorious series by Derek Prince on the new life. He has taught us about so much, I can hardly summarize it. Everything from who Jesus is, to how we know him, to how we bear fruit in him, and how we're sheep who follow him and allow him to be the good shepherd. It has been glorious. And if you've missed any of it, you can listen to it as often as you want to at DerekPrince.org. You'll find all kinds of great stuff there. Today now, Derek is going to teach us something important. Yesterday, he was talking to us about that shepherd-sheep relationship. And you know what? When I listen to that, it's almost as though I say, wow, if it was just me and Jesus, that'd be great. You know, there'd be no problem. But the fact is that Jesus shepherds us through under-shepherds. And I know that's scary to some folks. I know some people have some history where maybe that wasn't the best idea in the world to have under-shepherds, and they're even a little nervous about the use of the word shepherd. But I think you're going to find that because Jesus loves his flock, he pastors them, he shepherds them through other shepherds who care about them as he does. You know, I think we're going to have to shift our understanding of what a shepherd, what a pastor is. When Paul described the authority that he had over the Corinthian church, he said, you know what? It's an authority for building you up, not pulling you down. Godly authority, Jesus-type authority, is an authority to make you greater and help you to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of you. So let's listen now as Derek helps us understand in a balanced way the under-shepherds of Jesus.
In my talk yesterday, I described the main distinguishing marks of the sheep. What marks out real Christians? Obviously, that's a very important question. Listen carefully now as I give you three simple marks, all based on this parable of the sheepfold. First of all, the true sheep have entered by the door, that is, Jesus crucified, for their sins. They have not tried to get in on the basis of church membership or their own righteousness or their good deeds or their knowledge of Scripture, but they've come as sinners redeemed by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Second, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So that's the second mark. They hear the voice of Jesus. They have that direct personal relationship with him through which he can speak directly. They can hear his voice. And the third mark goes with it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. It's not sufficient to hear. We must also obey. But when we hear and obey, that marks us out as the sheep of Jesus. It's not a denominational label. It's not a doctrinal persuasion. It's a relationship and a way of life. Let me just give you those three marks again. They're so important. The true sheep have entered by the door, Jesus crucified. They hear his voice and they follow him. Summed up in these two phrases, a direct personal relationship with Jesus and obedience to him. In my talk today, I'm going to share about another important element in God's provision for his people, the under-shepherds. Jesus is the shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, but in the church he has set under-shepherds, who are called usually, in current English, pastors, but they may be called other titles too. First of all, I want to establish a very important general principle. God governs the world through delegated authority. Every time God wants something done, he does not step down from his throne and speak to the individual and say, now do this. Because God has set in the world authority that represents him. And he governs the world through that authority. The supreme authority is Jesus. Jesus said after his death and resurrection, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Jesus likewise, just like the Father, governs through delegated authority. He can do things directly and in person, Normally, he does them through delegated authority, and that's how he governs his church on earth, through delegated authority, through humans whom he has put in positions of authority to carry out his will. In the church, Christ has provided five main kinds of leadership. They are stated in Ephesians 4, verse 11. He, that is, the ascended Christ, gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Those are the five main types of leadership: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Now that word translated pastor in that context is the same word that's everywhere else in the New Testament is translated shepherd. Bear that in mind. Shepherds are pastors. Pastors are shepherds. Pastor is an old English word which has somewhat had its meaning reduced to a purely religious setting. But in older English, it was the word for a shepherd. Those of you that are keen musicians will remember that Beethoven wrote a pastoral symphony, which was a symphony about shepherd life. So when you hear the word pastor, you need to equate it with the word shepherd. Now, in normal circumstances, and there are exceptions to this, but in normal circumstances, Christ expects his sheep to find their place in a congregation under leaders of this kind, under human shepherds or under shepherds. Peter gives us a further description of these under shepherds in his first epistle, chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, which is where he says, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you," and elders are also shepherds, as we'll see, just two different names for the same office. "I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder." Peter was an apostle, but when he was in a local church, he was just a fellow elder along with the other elders, "and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed." Now listen to what he says to these elders. "Shepherd the flock of God among you, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples of the flock." Notice certain points there. First of all, the elders in the church are also the shepherds or pastors of the church, and they have this very important responsibility of taking care of the people in the church. You remember that in Psalm 23 in the Amplified Version, the task of a shepherd was described as to feed, to guide, and to protect. Well, under Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, the shepherds or pastors in the local congregation have those three responsibilities: to feed, to guide, and to protect the people of God. And Peter speaks about two aspects of being a shepherd. He speaks about the motives, and he says it's not for sordid gain. It's not a way to get a good living, but it's eagerly. It's in commitment to Jesus and to his people. When Jesus wanted Peter to commit himself to care for his sheep, he said to him, "Do you love me, Peter?" Not, "Do you love the sheep?" It's love of Christ that makes a man a good shepherd of the sheep. And then Peter speaks about attitudes, and he says, "Not lording it over the flock, but being examples." We need to bear in mind that the Oriental shepherd, the biblical shepherd, did not drive his flock. He always led it. He spoke, and they followed when they heard his voice. And human under shepherds must have the same attitude. They're not to drive, but they're to lead.
You know, just at the end there, Derek said something so important for us, something that should heal us, should set us free, and I think really should be a serious thought to most of the pastors who are listening. He said the biblical shepherd does not drive the flock. He leads it. He speaks and the sheep follow. Boy, when we learn leadership as something that is drawn, that is the power to draw response from people rather than to drive them harshly, that's when we're going to be the leaders of God we're called to be. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
How would you define extravagant? The absolute best? Over-the-top luxury? The ultimate in comfort and security? Then what would extravagant love be like? And what would extravagant love mean to you? The dictionary defines extravagant as going beyond reasonable limits, excessive, or unrestrained. And although you may not realize it, the truth is,
You are loved in that way right now. God Himself loves you extravagantly. In his book, Extravagant Love, Derek Prince searched out key parables and scriptures from the Bible that define and explain God's love. He compiled these verses along with his insights into a comprehensive, easy-to-read book. God's love is not only unconditional, it is excessive and unrestrained. That is why we want you to have a free copy of Extravagant Love, absolutely free and postage paid. To get your copy, give us a call right now, 800-448-3261. The book and the call are both free. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the extravagant inheritance that waits you. Grasp the scope of God's extravagant love for you. Call now and request your free copy. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy of Extravagant Love when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for being with us today. I hope you're sitting with us and learning about the under-shepherds of God. We've been learning from Derek about Jesus as the shepherd. Now we're learning about under-shepherds, and I know it's a scary thought, this whole theme in Scripture that God gives us pastors and shepherds to oversee us and that we are to submit to them as we do unto the Lord, and boy, that can make us nervous. But Derek is showing us the gentle, kind, compassionate, passionate nature of the role of the under-shepherd. Let's listen.
I want to turn to just two other passages, both of them in Hebrews chapter 13, that also have something to tell us about these human under-shepherds in the church. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the outcome of their way of life, imitate their faith. Notice here are two marks of the shepherds that are endorsed and approved by the Scripture. First of all, they speak God's word to his people. Secondly, they set an example of faith, not an example of unbelief. And the next verse in Hebrews, verse 8 of that chapter, says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we put that together with the previous verse, imitate their faith, it indicates that the faith of the true shepherd points the sheep to the eternal, unchanging Christ. It's very important to understand that there are men in the church today who are not to be followed because they do not fulfill these requirements, and the sheep have got to know the true shepherds from the false. Then in Hebrews 13:17, it says again, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Notice there another mark of the true shepherds. They keep watch over your souls. Let's put those two passages in Hebrews together, and we have these marks of the true shepherds. They speak God's word to his people. They set an example of faith that points people to the eternal, unchanging Christ, and they keep watch over the souls of God's people. Now let's ask for a moment what is required from the sheep in relationship to the shepherds. And there are three words in those verses from Hebrews 13. Remember, obey, submit. First, remember, be mindful of them. I suggest that there are two particular ways in which the sheep should remember the true shepherds. The first is in prayer for them, and the second is in financial support for them. Those are two practical ways that sheep should remember their shepherds. And then it says obey, and it says submit. And bear in mind that obedience is an outward act. Submission is an inner attitude. It's not enough to obey unless obedience springs from an inner attitude of submission. Also, in certain circumstances, it is possible to have the inner attitude of submission, but to say on grounds of conscience, I regret that in this particular point, I cannot obey you. So those are the three requirements of the sheep in regard to the human under-shepherds: to remember, to obey, and to submit. Now let me close with a very important principle, which is this: our attitude to God's representatives is our attitude to God. In other words, where sheep are under true under-shepherds of Jesus, appointed by him, the attitude of those sheep to their under-shepherds is really a picture of their attitude toward God himself. We do not respect God more, we do not obey God more than we respect and obey our human under-shepherds. Listen to what Jesus says, and I'll close with this. When he sent forth a group of disciples to represent him, he said this, "The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." So God sent Jesus. Our attitude to Jesus is our attitude to God. But Jesus in turn sent his human representatives because he sent them. Our attitude and response to them is a picture of our attitude and response to God.
You know, listening to Derek teach, I'm keenly aware that there's something that really needs to be healed in the body of Christ about the relationship between sheep and under-shepherds, or the people and the pastors. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:17 that these pastors, these under-shepherds, are to do what they do with joy and not with grief, that they're to watch over our souls as those who give an account. At the same time, the sheep are told that we're to submit to them and to obey them. I mean, it should be a loving relationship. It should really be the relationship between a player and a coach. A player submits to the coach, and the coach makes him a better player. May God give us those kinds of leaders, and may we be those kinds of sheep. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
When life seems lifeless and hope far away, it's time for change, a complete transformation. In his encouraging book, Transformed for Life, Derek Prince reveals how Jesus' death on the cross began a marvelous transformation that can reach into your life right now. Through its pages, you'll discover how God's sacrificial gift forever changed the lives of those who know him, and why his sacrifice will take care of you completely. God's love for you is far from ordinary. Isn't it time for you to see how you can become transformed for life? To order your copy or to get one for someone you love, call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is only $12.95, and if you order now, we will make sure you receive it in time for the holidays. God has a transformed life waiting for you. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Joining me in the studio today are two men to help me really digest and apply the truths that we've been hearing. First of all, Dick Leggett, the president of Derek Prince Ministries, is here. Dick, thanks for being here.
Hey, great to see you, Stephen.
And David Holland, the smartest man I know, also a producer of this show, is here. Dave, thanks for being here again.
Hi, thanks, Stephen.
You know, I'm going to just, Dick, fire away at you a little bit here because, you know, you were there in the years that some call the discipleship years.
Yes.
And let's be a little risky here on the show here. You know, what Derek is describing is going to sound to some of our listeners like the discipleship movement. You know, the fact that Jesus is the shepherd and there are under shepherds and that we should obey them and we should support them financially. I mean, that's what he said. Now, we know what he meant. You and I know what he meant because we've spent time with Derek. But I'm sure there's some folks listening out there thinking, oh my gosh, can't believe they're playing this talk of Derek's because that's the discipleship stuff. Now, can you distinguish a bit for us? And since you actually lived through it and I didn't, what's the line between the real and the false there?
Well, I think one thing we need to acknowledge is that these principles that Derek is talking about are valid biblical principles. And as long as you keep them in a valid biblical mode, you do okay. What regularly happens in these kind of situations is that people see a biblical principle and then they push it to the extreme. And I think to some degree that's what happened in the discipleship movement. It was a godly principle. It was a great concept. It was a biblical concept. And when it began, there was tremendously good fruit. And there remained good fruit. I have to say to you, I experienced discipleship really in the company of Don Basham and Derek Prince first and foremost. And my relationship with Don as the guy who I really looked to as a pastor was extremely helpful, extremely beneficial to me. And I drew tremendous benefit from that relationship. And but in other relationships that I experienced later on, I saw the domination and the manipulation that sometimes can make for problems, not just in the discipleship movement. I'd quickly add, people all over the United States and other parts of the world would say that pastors got into a situation where they lorded it over them, and that clearly is an unscriptural condition. And when that happens, damage occurs and people get hurt. And that is some of what took place in the discipleship movement.
Now, Dave, you and I are seeing some of this even today. I mean, we've both been pastors and, I hate to say it, but some of that, it just rears its ugly head from time to time in the church.
It does. And anytime the issue of authority or submission, for example, in the home, I mean, there's a valid biblical truth about the headship of the husband in the home, and yet that's abused all the time. Husbands abuse that, point to scripture and abuse it all the time. So it's really not unusual for there to be a valid biblical principle that some people abuse. That's pretty much par for the course.
And, we need to say, too, I remember talking to Derek about this very specifically, that while they were trying to bring some order to the charismatic movement, they saw every man off doing his own thing, and they said, look, there's got to be some leadership. There's got to be some accountability. And I think they put something in place with a good motive, and then it just spun out of control and became a domineering thing. And the number of walking wounded out there is pretty severe. Maybe we can spend some time praying about that in a few moments and
That'd
help some
great.
Folks get hold. What were you going to say, Dick?
That'd be great. One statement that Don Basham had that really I thought had some tremendous value to it is this: spiritual authority can never be imposed. It must be recognized and submitted to. And when you look at it in that light, then you see that the person submitting does it voluntarily. It can't be imposed. The situation David was talking about where a husband says to his wife, you have to submit to me. You have to obey me because I'm your husband. That puts you in a losing proposition right up front when you do that. But the other thing I'd say is that not only did Derek have some great wisdom about this, Don have some great wisdom about this, but also Derek. And we read that in his bio where he really talked about this in depth. And that's really fantastic.
And, before we pray, I would want to mention one thing. I know that there are a lot of people who are being introduced to Derek Prince for the first time, and people who maybe have a memory within the church that goes back to the 70s may associate his name with something controversial. They say, I don't know, this Derek Prince sounds great, but don't I associate his name with something that was controversial back in the 70s? I don't remember much, don't know much about it, but somebody said it was bad. I would recommend that anyone who has any questions about that go to the biography that Stephen Mansfield, our host, has written, because it's dealt with great clarity, with great transparency and honesty in the biography of Derek Prince, which is available online at derekprince.org. That'll really help you.
Dick, why don't you take us to prayer about that very topic?
Okay, great. Thanks. Father, we bring before you this whole issue of under-shepherds and authority. It's a sticky issue, Father, as we regard it, but it's clear in your mind. So we just come to you and we ask you to give us clarity. And Father, for any person that has been injured or abused in any kind of an authoritative relationship, we ask that you'd bring healing and light and peace in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Dick. Guys, great to be with you. It's been a great 2 weeks, and I'm thankful for all that you've contributed to our time.
Thanks, Stephen. Great.
Our pleasure.
And listen, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure and log on the website. You'll find out all about some free resources we have for you, and you can listen to these teachings over and again. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again next week on Monday as The Legacy Continues.
To order your copy of Derek's book, Transformed for Life, give us a call toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is just $12.95. And when you call, be sure to request your free copy of Derek's powerful booklet, Extravagant Love. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order both resources securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.